So, imagine waking up on a Sunday morning, right? You pour in your coffee, maybe you're half asleep, and you realize that the fundamental laws of the internet, like the absolute baseline rules, have just been completely rewritten while you were sleeping.
Yeah, and there was no, I mean, there was no polite press release about it either.
Exactly. No keynote presentation with, the soaring music and the slick graphics. No slow beta testing phase where everyone gets a turn. Just a massive, chaotic midnight data dump.
And it completely shatters the barrier between what we all thought was, well, computationally impossible and what is suddenly and terrifyingly very real.
Right, because today is Sunday, April 26th, 2026. And while half the world is literally still in bed, that whole illusion that tech giants are, pulling levers at carefully scheduled times, that's just completely vanished.
It really has. I mean, we are looking at a diagnostic landscape of the tech world right now that is just utterly chaotic. This data dump comes from the tech outlet Techie Night, and the sheer volume of these leaks is staggering.
It's a lot to get through.
It's massive. We're looking at a 10 trillion parameter AI model just dropping out of nowhere. We've got a digital virus behaving indistinguishably from a biological organism.
Which is still giving me chills, by the way.
Oh, absolutely. Plus consumer cables melting under raw electrical loads, blockchains forcing themselves into physical reality, and virtual ghosts. I mean, it reads like pure science fiction, but all of this raw data is sitting right here in our source stack today.
So the mission for this deep dive, for you listening right now, is to try and synthesize this flurry of midnight drops. Because on the surface, they seem like, I don't know, totally isolated incidents across different sectors.
Yeah, they really do.
But as we unpack this, a very clear historical pivot starts to emerge. We are witnessing the exact moment the battleground shifts. Like for decades, the hard limit on human progress was just hardware. The physical machine simply couldn't keep up with our idea.
But tonight, those hardware limitations basically vanished. The software is practically writing itself at this point. If we connect this to the bigger picture, the overarching theme here is the total dissolution of control. The border between possible and impossible dissolved overnight. And that leaves, well, ethical control as basically the only remaining barrier.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because to understand how we got pushed over that edge, we really have to start with the biggest architectural shift in the whole Techonite dump, which is Meta's sudden release of Llama 4 Titan.
Yeah, Titan is, it's just unprecedented.
Meta essentially dropped the equivalent of a localized supernova into the open source community. The leaked specs describe a 10.2 trillion parameter model.
Which is just an absurd number.
Right. And just for context, if you're trying to wrap your head around that, parameters are basically the neural connections in the AI's brain. So the more you have, the more nuanced its understanding of the world is.
Yeah, and that makes Titan the largest open source model in history by a massive margin. But, parameter count really just dictates the engine size. The real breakthrough here is its capacity for immediate memory.
Oh, the context window.
Exactly. Titan features a 5.1 million token context window. And the context window is essentially how much information the AI can hold in its working memory at one single time.
Which means, okay, if you're trying to visualize this, a 5 million token window is roughly the equivalent of feeding the AI about 10,000 pages of text in a single prompt.
10,000 pages all at once.
Yeah, you could take the entire US tax code, thousands of pages of dense medical journals, and like a century of corporate case law, drop it into its brain all at once and ask it to find a single cross-referenced loophole.
And it would actually remember every single word while calculating the answer.
Right. But here's the crazy part. Somehow, Meta claims they've achieved a 40% reduction in inference energy compared to the previous, much smaller generation. How is that even physically possible?
Well, they achieved that efficiency drop through a really fundamental restructuring of how the AI process is thought. It's wild. Llama 4 Titan utilizes what's called a decentralized sparse MoE.
Sparse MoE.
Yeah, MoE stands for mixture of experts. So in older, dense models, asking the AI a simple question would basically activate the entire neural network.
Which sounds wildly inefficient.
It is. It's incredibly inefficient. But a sparse mixture of experts architecture changes that completely. The network is divided up into thousands of highly specialized subnetworks.
Okay, so this is like it's like a massive city. Instead of firing up the entire 10 trillion parameter brain, just to say, translate a poem from French to English, You don't wake up the entire population of the city to ask for directions to the bakery.
Exactly. Great analogy.
The model dynamically routes your prompt only to the specific expert sectors that handle linguistics and French vocabulary, leaving the rest of the massive brain totally dormant.
Right, and that explains the massive energy savings. That's the sparse mo element. But the decentralized part of that title is where the actual infrastructure of the internet fundamentally changes.
Yeah, this is the part that blew my mind.
Because instead of relying on one massive multi-billion dollar server farm out in California, this model is designed to run across a global fragmented network of everyday home computers.
Which is insane.
There's an internal quote from Mark Zuckerberg in the leak that spells it out perfectly. He says, "Power is no longer in the hands of one company, it is in the hands of the network."
Think about the PC sitting on your desk right now. Meta released an application alongside Titan called MetaWorker. You can literally install it today.
Mm-hmm.
And while you sleep or go to work, you can rent out your computer's graphics card.
And your machine just processes these tiny encrypted fragments of this 10 trillion parameter brain.
Exactly. So you become a node in a global supercomputer timeshare. And in exchange, Meta pays you a steady stream of digital tokens.
It completely shatters the most powerful computational force on the planet into millions of pieces and just distributes it right into our living rooms. From a structural standpoint, it breaks the corporate monopolies. You no longer have to ask an overarching tech giant for permission or server access to utilize cutting-edge AI. Industrial researchers can customize this model in complete decentralized secrecy.
Okay, but I have a massive problem with that, though. If it is completely open source and decentralized, the central authority is totally gone.
Yeah, it is.
If the processing power isn't housed in one physical building, you can't just walk in and unplug the server when a bad actor decides to use this massive brain to build something malicious.
And you've hit on the terrifying double-edged sword that's outlined all over these source documents.
I mean, it has to be a risk, right?
Oh, a huge one. First off, because of its sheer size, Titan suffers from really deep-level hallucinations. When it connects disparate pieces of information incorrectly, it does so with profound, highly complex confidence.
So it's very convincingly wrong.
Exactly. But the lack of an off switch is the true threat here. When you remove those centralized safety filters and distribute the computing power globally, you essentially empower everyone equally.
Right. So researchers can cure diseases in secrecy, sure, but criminal syndicates now have totally unrestricted access to an intelligence capable of building highly sophisticated cyber weapons. And if the compute power to generate a cyber weapon is now sitting in millions of living rooms, it's really just inevitable that the malicious code itself evolves to act independently.
Which brings us right into the next huge leak.
Right, because according to the Tech and Night dump, we actually don't have to wait for some hypothetical syndicate to build that weapon. Autonomous malware is already tearing through European financial networks as we speak.
Yeah. Security analysts at CrowdStrike and Kaspersky are currently scrambling to contain this piece of malware named Neutron. And what terrifies the analysts is not even the target.
It's the mechanics, right?
Exactly. It's the biological mechanics of the code itself. Neutron fundamentally behaves like a living pathogen.
Okay, wait, biological. Because traditional computer viruses are super rigid. They're just static scripts. They carry a specific set of instructions, and if they hit a wall they aren't programmed to handle, they just fail.
Right, but Neutron is carrying its own internal small language model, an SLM.
So it has a brain.
It has a localized analytical brain. When it enters a network, it doesn't just blindly execute a script. It literally maps the environment. It checks the operating system. It identifies the security patches. And it dynamically adapts its own structure in real time.
I read this analogy in the dump that was wild. Normally, a computer virus is like a burglar who brings a ring of lockpicks to a house.
Right.
They try every pick. And if the homeowner installed a completely new, unrecognized deadbolt, the burglar is out of luck. They're stuck. They just move on.
Yeah, but Neutron is a burglar who walks up to the house, examines the new deadbolt, pulls out a portable forge, melts down scrap metal, and manufactures a brand new, perfectly matching key right there on the front porch. It's a perfect way to put it. And the tech reality driving this, the mechanism doing the forging, is called a polymorphic engine paired with JIT LLM coding.
Just-in-time large language model coding.
Exactly. If Neutron hits a state-of-the-art firewall it has never seen before, it doesn't crash or retreat. It halts, analyzes the architecture of the firewall, wipes its own internal code, and generates a live zero-day exploit on the spot, specifically tailored to the obstacle in front of it.
That is terrifying.
And because it is constantly rewriting its own fundamental code to forge those new keys, its digital signature mutates every single second.
So the antivirus software can't see it.
Right. Traditional antivirus software works by maintaining a massive database of known malware signatures, essentially looking for specific digital fingerprints.
But Neutron doesn't leave a fingerprint.
It leaves no fingerprint. Its identity is constantly in flux, which renders standard cybersecurity infrastructure completely, totally blind to its presence.
I mean, I am struggling to see how any current enterprise network defends against code that is actively rewriting its own DNA.
Yeah.
If your standard signature-based security software is utterly useless, what is the actual protocol here?
Well, the security audit included in the leak is incredibly grim on this point.
I bet.
The only functional defense mechanism right now is total network air gapping.
Like physically severing the cables.
Physically severing the network cables so the machines cannot communicate with the outside internet at all.
Wow.
For systems that must remain online, analysts are forced to rely strictly on AI behavioral analysis. So you stop looking for the code itself, and instead you have an AI monitor the network for anomalous behavior.
Oh, I see. So you have to recognize the virus by how it walks through the system, not by who it is.
Precisely. And furthermore, while the current infections are mostly limited to financial servers right now, the internal architecture of Neutron indicates it has the full capability to mutate and attack Linux and Android mobile kernels down the line.
Which means it could hit phones.
Absolutely.
But here's the thing. To run an autonomous mutating virus that generates live zero-day exploits, or to power a 10 trillion parameter decentralized AI model, you eventually run headfirst into the laws of thermodynamics.
You really do.
All of this abstract floating math requires a staggering amount of physical heat and electricity. The software has basically outgrown the physical world, and the physical world is bending until it breaks to catch up.
Which brings us to the physical hardware arms race that also leaked tonight. This perfectly illustrates that bottleneck.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting for the PC builders out there. The source material includes a deleted benchmark leak from NVIDIA's VP of marketing.
Yeah, regarding their upcoming flagship consumer GPU, the RTX 6090 Supernova.
The specs on this thing. I mean, they demonstrate a generational leap that completely breaks standard Moore's law progression. Let's break down the sheer brute force math of this card.
Please do.
Compared to the current top-tier 5090, the 6090 Supernova boasts 512 teraflops of processing power.
Which is insane.
It's a 165% increase in a single generation. And a teraflop, for anyone wondering, is the ability to calculate 1 trillion floating point operations per second.
It also carries 64 gigabytes of GDDR8 VRAM, completely doubling the memory bandwidth.
Right. And the leaked benchmark showed it running the game Cyberpunk 2077, Phantom Liberty 2 at an 8K resolution, hitting 144 frames per second with full path tracing turned on.
And path tracing is essentially the computational holy grail of graphics.
Why is that?
Well, instead of using flat, fake lighting tricks like older rendering methods, path tracing mathematically simulates the physical trajectory of every single photon of light bouncing around a virtual environment in real time.
So it's basically simulating real physics.
Exactly. It requires immense power to achieve photorealism, and there is a terrifying physical cost to brute forcing that much math on a single silicon chip. The thermal design power, the TDP of the 6090, is rated at an astounding 1,600 watts.
1,600 watts for a single component inside a PC case.
Yep.
I mean, that is the electrical power draw of a heavy-duty industrial microwave or a space heater running at maximum capacity just for the graphics card.
And the infrastructure of a standard computer physically cannot handle that amperage. Standard copper wiring has too much electrical resistance.
Right, at 1,600 watts, a standard copper cable acts like the heating element in a toaster. It gets red hot and physically melts.
Which is exactly what the teardown documents in the leak confirm. To deliver that kind of current safely from the wall to the silicon without starting an actual fire, engineers had to abandon standard materials altogether.
They literally had to re-engineer the cable.
Yeah, they designed a version 3 16-pin cable using contact points manufactured out of gold and graphene.
Graphene.
Because the thermal conductivity of graphene allows the electricity to flow without incinerating the internal wiring of the machine.
The consumer impact of this is just wild to me. Because you can't just plug this card into an existing machine. You need a massive titanium series power supply.
Yeah, which pushes the estimated upgrade cost for a gamer or a developer to over $3,500.
Just to participate in the high-end tier of this new tech, or to be a highly paid node on the MetaWorker AI network, You are forced to buy industrial-grade electrical infrastructure for your house.
And this concept of hardware brute forcing to bypass software limitations isn't confined to just graphics rendering or AI.
Oh, right. The crypto crash.
Exactly. We are seeing it violently crash into the financial sector. Amidst the total chaos of this data dump, the crypto market suffered a massive billion-dollar crash last night.
It was a bloodbath.
The congestion and software exploits finally just broke the networks. But out of that ash, the Solana Foundation announced a radical pivot they call Solana Zero.
Now, I am really struggling to wrap my head around this particular drop because blockchains, by their very definition, are software, right? Mm-hmm. They are decentralized digital ledgers running on code across validator nodes. How do you take a software consensus mechanism and force it into physical metal?
It sounds impossible, but Solana Zero marks the actual death of the software-based blockchain.
Okay, explain that.
Well, software, as we've seen with the Neutron virus, is fundamentally vulnerable. It must be translated through an operating system, it gets congested, and it gets exploited. Solana's solution to last night's crash is to move the verification of transactions down to the physical layer. Under the Zero protocol, network validators are now required to use custom-designed chips called ASIC Zero.
So instead of a software program checking the math of a transaction, they are baking the rules of the blockchain directly into the microscopic physical gates of the silicon itself.
That's exactly it. They hardwired the logic into the atomic structure of the processor. A transaction is verified by the physical flow of electrons through specific, unalterable pathways on the chip.
Wow.
By doing this, the foundation claims a network crash or a software exploit is now mathematically and physically impossible. The consensus mechanism cannot freeze for the same reason a mechanical light switch cannot get a computer virus.
And the market's reaction to this was absolutely ruthless. You would think a billion-dollar exploit crash would trigger a mass exodus from the space, right?
You'd assume so.
But the market showed it is just desperately thirsty for unshakable stability. The second Solana Zero was announced, institutional investors rushed immediately back in.
Oh.
The token shot up 45% overnight, hitting an 82% confidence rating.
Mm.
Investors literally do not care about the crash. They only care that the new solution relies on unkillable physical hardware.
And when you pull all these seemingly disparate threads together, a really chilling synthesis occurs.
Let's do it. Tie it together.
We now have decentralized, limitless AI brains running across millions of homes. We have behavioral software that acts like a living, mutating biology. And we have ungodly hardware power, utilizing graphene cables to process logical consensus at the physical atomic layer.
And when you take limitless processing power, code that writes itself, and decentralized global networks, and you aim all of that at human behavior,
yeah,
you get a terrifyingly seamless simulation of reality.
Which brings us to Rockstar Games.
Yes. The Rockstar Games leak highlights this beautifully. The emails that dropped regarding Grand Theft Auto the Six Online show a system called Neural Asantos. They have completely rewritten the architecture of non-playable characters, the NPCs.
Right. NPCs are no longer just static set dressing walking on invisible rails. The leaked code logic introduces a contextual memory buffer.
A memory buffer.
Yeah. And the specific line of code highlighted in the dump is, wait for it. Await AI core dot process.
Await AI underscore core process.
Exactly. This means that NPCs now possess both short and long-term descriptive memory.
Okay, so if you are playing the game and you get into a chaotic shootout near a hot dog vendor on a Tuesday and you walk back into that specific store on a Friday, the game isn't just loading a generic hostile dialogue tree.
No, not at all.
That specific vendor will remember your face, the clothes you were wearing, and the specific weapon you used.
They will react dynamically, maybe with cowering fear, or maybe they've organically gathered other NPCs to enact revenge. Every single interaction is entirely unique, generated in real time, and stored in a massive AI-driven database.
The world is reacting to you as an individual.
It is. But the conspiracy theories erupting on Reddit right now are exploring the logical extreme of this technology.
Oh, I've seen these. It gets dark.
It does. If an NPC has descriptive memory and an internal logic model, what do they do when the player logs off?
Right.
The predominant theory is that Rockstar's AI is simulating offline NPC conversations. The characters are allegedly talking to each other, trading goods, and reacting to world events to run a real autonomous economy in the background, entirely unobserved by human players.
And the leak also points to a massive pipeline between our physical reality and this simulation. There are deep allegations that Rockstar is actively scraping player voice data.
Yeah, this part is really controversial.
They are allegedly listening to the cadence, the slang, and the interactions of real people talking in game lobbies and feeding that raw audio into their in-game criminal speech models.
They are harvesting real human interactions to make the fake criminals sound indistinguishable from us.
Which represents an incredible breach of privacy.
Immense.
But more fundamentally, it shows how easily human reality becomes just raw, unrefined material for a virtual world. And this technology breaches the most sacred, vulnerable human experience we have, the process of grief.
Yeah, the transition from simulating criminals to simulating loved ones.
Exactly. Because if Rockstar can simulate a criminal using voice scraps, a new startup called Digital Ghost is simulating our deceased loved ones.
And they launched their service in this exact same midnight dump.
They scrape a deceased person's entire digital footprint. We are talking 5 to 10 years of WhatsApp chat logs, Instagram videos, voice notes, and email threads.
They feed that massive data set into a large language model, presumably leveraging the kind of raw power we saw in the Llama 4 architecture to mathematically map out the exact personality of the person who passed away.
And the AI finds the deeply embedded patterns in how that person spoke, their humor, their specific phrasing. So for a monthly subscription fee, grieving families can initiate a video call with a photorealistic AI-generated avatar of their loved one.
It sounds like them. It looks like them. It can dynamically reference inside jokes from a text message sent 6 years ago.
Dr. Erickson, an AI philosopher at the 2026 Geneva Global Summit, addressed this exact trajectory in the source material, and his framing is chilling.
What did he say?
He stated, "We have entered a morally dangerous zone, giving tech companies the power to turn the human soul into a commercial commodity."
Wow.
I mean, a tech startup is charging a monthly subscription to keep an interactive hallucination of your mother alive on a server.
It completely capitalizes on profound human vulnerability. It interrupts the fundamental psychological process of grieving, replacing the acceptance of loss with a paid, simulated continuation.
So what does this all mean?
Well, when you analyze the entire Tekkenite dump from top to bottom, the traditional guardrails of human society are definitively gone. Llama 4 Titan proves the corporate monopoly on processing power is broken.
Right.
Neutron proves that static cybersecurity is obsolete against self-writing code. And the NVIDIA hardware proves we will melt metal to maintain the infrastructure of this new reality.
The hardware and software barriers that protected us from the extremes of technology, they no longer exist. The only barrier left is us. It is our own ethical restraint.
Exactly. The technology can simulate human life. It can rewrite its own DNA, and it operates on a decentralized, unstoppable network. The question is no longer, can we build it?
The question is, what will we allow it to do to us?
We prefer our world to be neatly categorized, you know, real or simulated,
yeah.
Broken or functional, human or machine. After tonight, those categories simply do not apply.
Which introduces an entirely new, deeply unsettling paradigm for you to mull over as this Sunday morning continues. If a digital ghost of your loved one is being processed by the MetaWorker app, it means their personality, their memories, and their voice are being mathematically calculated across thousands of strangers' graphics cards all over the globe.
Right.
Who legally owns that ghost? Do you own the digital soul of your family member, or does the decentralized network own the simulation of them? If a node in another country subtly tweaks the personality code, who do you sue?
It's a legal nightmare.
The technology dropped tonight. The legal nightmare begins tomorrow. The border between the possible and the impossible vanished while we were sleeping. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive. Stay curious, stay aware, and we'll see you next time.